It's a sunny day in San Francisco, 1968. Frank Bullitt, a suave police lieutenant in a brown tweed jacket, walks up to his car and gets in. Across the street, he spots a black Dodge Charger idling by the curb. Bullitt buckles his seatbelt and starts the car. It's an old Ford Mustang that's seen better days. The car's finished in Highland Green, a forest green so dark it's almost black. Bullitt wheels the Mustang into traffic and drives away. A few seconds later, the Dodge slinks into line behind him. Through the windshield, two men watch the green Mustang maneuver into the left lane. Bullitt flips on his left blinker and suddenly pulls a U-turn, followed by a swift right up a hilly side street. The men in the Charger follow him, but now they've fallen behind. Two kids dart across a crosswalk as the men reach the top of the hill, scanning the side streets for signs of the missing car. They cut down a windy residential road and creep onward, when suddenly, in the rearview mirror, a green Mustang slides into view. The tables are turned. The two men look panicked now. They stop at an intersection to let a San Francisco cable car pass. Bullitt edges closer. The men in the Charger are now only one car length ahead. They pull up to a stoplight. The driver buckles his seatbelt. The two cars edge out into traffic when the Charger accelerates hard and swerves left, tires smoking, Bullitt's Mustang right on its heels. The chase is on. That's the opening couple of minutes of the chase scene from the 1968 crime thriller Bullitt, starring Steve McQueen as that suave police lieutenant. But the real star is that green Mustang.
It's a very basic Mustang GT Fastback.
That's Sean Kiernan, the former owner of one of the original Mustangs used in Bullitt. His car was what's known as the hero car. That means most of the exterior shots you see of the Mustang during the chase, well, that's Sean's.
Definitely hard miles. I think the biggest thing, you know, is that it is original. Absolutely original, every bit of it. It tells a story from bumper to bumper.
And that story included a few bumps and scratches along the way.
They did what they had to do to get this car done, you know, to get the shot. That was the goal. So there's nothing, honestly, that they did to it that's pretty. All the welds are ugly. All the tubing is rusted because it's all natural. Every hole that was cut in it is not symmetrical by any means. It got done rough 50 years ago. And, you know, like I said, you do what you got to do to get it done. And this car definitely shows that. And yeah, I'm the crazy guy 50 years later to make sure none of that falls off of it.
We know so much about the Mustang primarily because of the car's first owner, who bought it right after production wrapped on the movie in 1968.
So the first owner, who I have a lot of love to give to, Robert Ross, was actually the guy that made Warner Brothers authenticate this car. And, you know, he's the reason we know the car exists, is because the VIN number is on that authentication and from Warner Brothers with the Warner Brothers, you know, paperwork.
But it didn't stay in Ross's possession for very long.
And then he offered it for sale, and that's how it made it from California to New Jersey. Was a detective named Frank in New Jersey bought this car.
You heard that right. Detective Frank Bullitt's actual Mustang was once again in the hands of a detective named Frank.
Detective Lieutenant Frank Bullitt, some other kind of cop. Pity the guy he works for.
Sean says that might have something to do with how the makers of Bullitt styled the car for the movie.
Definitely, the biggest part was to take off all the moldings or paint them, take off all the emblems, and not make it look flashy whatsoever, because, you know, this was a detective in San Francisco in 68 that's buying this car on a detective salary. But even on, you know, beyond that, it needed to be kind of an undercover car.
And that dark Highland green color definitely helped with the undercover look.
It was obviously shot with lacquer, but it still has a little bit of a metallic in it. At night, you know, it definitely turns black.
Sean's father first came across the Bullitt Mustang in the back of an issue of Road and Track magazine. Detective Frank was putting the car up for sale.
So it was October 1974 when that Road and Track article came out. It was a classified ad. No picture, just, you know, wording, and Bullitt was misspelled.
So he could have used a spell check, but that didn't stop Sean's dad from buying the car. for just $3,500.
The way I say it is he bought it because of the way it looked and bought it because it was a fastback big block car, but kept it because it was Bullitt.
And the Kiernans kept it for a long time, too. Sean's mom even used it to drive back and forth to the school where she taught.
I mean, the car handled really well. It was very overkill for a daily driver. And, you know, I think that part my dad loved about it. But this was to be the daily driver. It's funny, even now, I get a lot of people saying, you know, they lived in Madison, New Jersey, where my mom taught, my dad was raised, and I was born. They know the car. They knew the car. They saw the car. But no one cared.
But it did grab the attention of one person.
You work your side of the street, and I'll work mine.
That's right. Steve McQueen wanted his Mustang back.
Almost 10 years after the filming of the movie, he reached out to my father, through the second owner in Warner Brothers and got my dad's info and tried to buy the car back.
But it turns out the king of cool wasn't the king of negotiating.
It wasn't trying to buy it back as far as, you know, I'll give you some obscene amount of money. It was more, you know, I'll swap it with something kind of like it. And as we know now, there's nothing really like it. And also, this was my mom's daily driver. Dad easily said no to that.
So the car stayed with the Kiernan family, eventually ending up in their barn. That is, until the new millennium.
Breakout! Feeling a little cooped up lately? Then break out of your rut and get behind the wheel of a new Ford.
In 2001, Ford released a special version of the contemporary Mustang in commemoration of the original car from Bullitt. The 2001 Bullitt was essentially a modified version of the base V8 Mustang. It had unique wheels and, of course, that special green paint.
It wasn't until, you know, 2001 when Ford came out with their first commemorative Bullitt and the internet was, you know, starting to come alive, where people started to care about where this car was.
The new car prompted Sean and his dad to start restoring their own Bullitt. But life got in the way.
I got backburned so many times just because life was going on. You know, my dad developed Parkinson's 2001, 2002. I obviously had my family starting, and I had a full-time job in the paint and body business. And so the car was kind of, you know, we'll get to it, but we also had a horse farm. And, you know, things were going on.
Eventually, the car ended up back in the barn, as Sean's dad took a turn for the worse.
Not until 2014. My dad sadly passed away at the age of 66.
After his father's death, Sean decided to finally go back into the barn and start work on the Mustang, this time on his own.
At the end of the day, I really wish, you know, he was here to just see the respect and the positivity that surrounds the car and everybody that this car's lives touched, and everybody, you know, is just awesome about it. And that's something I really wish he could have been able to see.
The black Charger flies into view, cresting a steep San Francisco hill and leaping into the air. Bullets right behind him. The men in the Dodge careen around a corner, clipping a parked car. Bullitt misses the turn, slams the Mustang into reverse, and corrects his mistake, tires screeching. The Charger is now headed down the other side of the hill, jumping off the inclines at the edge of each intersection. Bullitt's gaining, swerving around a Volkswagen Bug on his way down. The Charger takes another corner at speed, losing a hubcap in the process. The city streets start to fall away, replaced by California Freeway. The chase continues. So we know about the Mustang, but that doesn't answer the question of why a car chase that's more than 50 years old still tops best of lists in 2020. To find out more, I called up Jack Gill. He's directed the car stunts in everything from Captain America...
Give me the wheel!
...to the Fast and the Furious movies.
Dominic Toretto, you don't know me. You're about to.
Before directing, though, he was a stunt driver himself.
Just a good old...
I started out on Dukes of Hazzard driving the General Lee for five seasons.
Gill says for him, the Bullitt chase lives up to the hype.
The one thing is the reason that that film holds up over all this time is because every time you see it, you feel like you're in the chase with them.
And the filmmakers were able to pull that off by putting cameras in the cars with the actors, which was pretty revolutionary for the time.
They put them in the back seat, in the passenger seat, in the driver's seat. All of these camera angles that nobody had ever seen before, they used on Bullitt.
Gill says those camera techniques were so influential, in fact, that they continue to show up in modern movies.
Once they started that trend, everybody followed it from there on out, and you started seeing it in every other film after that that had a car chase scene in it. And then it went on to motorcycles and, you know, anything you can think of, we were mounting cameras on. And to this day, even in the Fast and Furious franchise, that's exactly what we're doing. Although we use a lot more cameras than they used, it's still the basic premise.
But it wasn't just the visuals that made the bullet chase a classic.
The sound was an element of the chase, and the shifting was an element of the chase, and the tire screeching. It all played kind of its own character in the bullet chase.
There are some idiosyncrasies in the chase, though. About 8 hubcaps fly off the Charger as it makes its way through San Francisco, and the same green Volkswagen Beetle seems to keep showing up in the background.
Maybe they just didn't have enough nondescript cars to play out, and that Volkswagen was just in there all the time.
Gil says that's all part of the charm, though.
There's no doubt that this chase holds up completely in today's world. The only thing I think that anybody could critique it is in today's world, they would remove the 8 hubcaps that come off the Charger.
Bullitt's Mustang pulls up alongside the Charger, the crunch of sheet metal echoing through the hillsides over the roar of 2 V8 engines. As one of the goons levels a shotgun through the window at his pursuer, Bullitt swerves into the Dodge, knocking it off course and down an embankment, into a gas station. Then, well... the chase is over. But it isn't forgotten. Today, Sean's Mustang is said to be 98% original. It still wears many of the dents and scrapes the car incurred during filming, and even the metal tubing used to mount the cameras is still there. But the wear and tear hasn't depressed its value.
One last time if you want it. You want to get $3,500,000?
At Mecum Auctions in Florida earlier this year, the car sold for $3.4 million.
Sold the car at $3 million. $400,000 sold it.
Making it the most expensive Mustang ever sold.
If I wasn't to sell it, I would continue to do this and never get closure. And, you know, I think that I'm holding on to that. And that, again, made it just a little bit easier to let her go.
Reporting for Perspective, I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.